There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Come along,
oh my goodness, so happy that the weekend is finally here, and we have relatively nice weather after all this rain. I think we're going to even approach on Sunday afternoon around 60, maybe higher than 60. So I think I saw 65 on Monday. Fred,
you did.
We have Dave Murray.
Yeah, we do, coming up in 5 o'clock.
A little
hour.
After 5 o'clock, Dave will join us. Jane is hanging out. We got Ethan in the studio as well with the Hall of Famer and Sue Thomas on a Friday afternoon. Did anyone watch the Fire Aid benefit concert last night?
No.
Anyone?
No, I forgot.
I was relying on you to watch it.
I watched quite a bit. So I went home last night. We went to dinner at Katie's Pizza and Pasta. It was great. And then we came home and I turned it on Amazon. Apparently, a lot of the streaming platforms were airing it. Prime, I had it on Prime, but I think Netflix had it on. And when I tuned in, Green Day was on. I'm a fan of Green Day. I have to overlook politics, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to my entertainment, or I would not like any music at all. And I've seen Green Day many times in concert. I saw them at the Pageant when they were here, which was amazing, about 8 years ago. But then, do you guys know who Anderson .Paak is by any chance? P-A-A-K?
Yes.
Okay, no. I know you do because you're hip and young. Well, you know who Bruno Mars is, right?
Yes.
So Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak. Anderson .Paak is a musician, but he's also a producer. But they did Silk Sonic together. And Silk Sonic had a residency in Vegas, and I have deep regrets that I didn't see it.
Oh, me too.
So Anderson .Paak last night was on stage, and I just want to play a little bit of it here. And he's on the drums, and he, you know, he doesn't only play drums, but he's just banging out the drums. And in front of him, there's somebody, and I'm like, and my son is in the room last night, and he doesn't know all the history of music. And I'm like, man, that certainly looks like Sheila E. And then I second-guessed myself.
No way.
I'm like, that's not Sheila E. because they would highlight her. You'd have to be, you know, introduced. Well, and he introduced Sheila E.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for Sheila E.
She just killed it.
Wow.
I mean, it was
That's good.
Awesome. So as soon as I saw this performance, and I mean, Anderson .Paak is an amazing performer. I love Bruno as well. So they're doing this, and then they bring out Dre.
Los Angeles,
the
are you
doctor.
Still here? Why don't you do me a favor? Make some noise for my big homie, Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Well, he takes over here.
Yeah, yeah. Still doing that shit on Dre?
Oh, for sure.
Check me out.
All right, that's when it ended, because here's what happened. Now, I have a very serious question to ask the room and the audience. They said, they promoted that Katy Perry was coming up. My daughter's in the room last night, and she's watching the music. She wanted to see Katy Perry. They start with Dre. There's N-word, N-word, N-word. Even Anderson .Paak had N-word. What do you say to a 10-year-old kid that doesn't even know what that word is? And if she does, she knows it's bad, and she sees artists
over
on stage at the
again.
Intuit yeah. Center in Los Angeles saying it over and over. I mean, this is a legitimate question. How do you explain that to a little kid?
That's awful. I don't know what I would do.
Now,
what did
would
you
I
do?
Just say that's just well, inappropriate?
I ignored it. We kind of moved on. We didn't let her watch the rest of it.
I would say that they're allowed to say it as part of artwork, but we're not.
Well, how do you explain? Wait,
yeah,
that,
I'm not even
the context of the word though.
Yeah.
I'm not even referring to that specifically. I'm more so like why it is a televised
yes.
event.
Correct.
It's not.
Audience.
It's one thing if it's
yes.
just. It's one thing if it's just a concert. Who cares? Like, you're the artist. That's your song. Perform it.
Yes.
Say that. I don't care. But you are performing this for more than just the 20,000 people that are watching.
That's how I felt.
To Mark's point, if Katy Perry's coming up, kids are waiting.
Absolutely, because that's who they want to
see. Let me ask you this. Did Dr. Dre say that, or did he pause during the Super Bowl a couple years ago? He paused because he knew that millions of people of all ages are watching. That should have been how this was approached last night.
I agree.
Huge miss.
So I texted my friend in Las Vegas, Rick, and I said, because I was, outside of the language, I really was impressed with Anderson .Paak. And I right away I said, I got to see Silk Sonic and I see this guy. But I texted Rick and I said, any chance you're watching the concert right now? I was going to tell you it's really good. But then this happened. They rolled out Joni Mitchell. And she looks like she's 130. And she's literally in a wheelchair.
Yeah, literally
with her
rolled.
Cane. And she's trying to do this song.
And ice cream castles in the air.
I mean, it wasn't that good. And the whole crowd's coming off of, like, Dre and this big celebration. Then Joni's rolled out there. And God bless her. She's 82 years old. But that didn't work. And then Rick had texted me back and said, Rod Stewart should have been with Joni Mitchell because apparently that did not go well either later in the evening. However, I do think you can still stream the concert. I think it's like 6 hours long. There were a couple of locations. I didn't see anything from the other location, Fred. I was just watching some of the stuff from the Intuit Dome. But they had a great, you know, there was some great stuff last night. There really was. Really inspirational. They raised a lot of money. Steve Ballmer matched all the donations. I haven't heard a final figure, but they did raise a lot of money. Now, here's a question, though. Another legitimate question. We all love to help people out. We donate. For something like this, would you have full faith and confidence that that money is going to actually get to people that need it? I hope so. But you know what I mean? Some of these things are so big, you just
who's
wonder.
Who's running it? Yeah.
Right. Who's running it? Who's administering all that money?
Part of that was supposed to be Magic Johnson, some investor or owner of the Dodgers, and one other person was supposed to be in charge of distributing that. And I still don't know how that works.
You're right. He was appointed. I think Karen Bass, was it Newsom or Karen Bass appointed a bunch of people to take charge
Newsom,
of that?
I think it was Newsom. I don't know if that's any better or not.
Anyway, I just thought it was an interesting moment musically with my daughter. I'm going to try to cue up Katy Perry tonight and find that and hope that. And I heard that was really good because she did it with a choir from Altadena that had lost their church. So there are performances on there that are worth watching. This is worth listening to this afternoon right here.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
It's possible that I do this every year, but we are now going to listen to something. Okay. And you are going to tell me who is singing. Who is this person that Mark will play singing I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry? Now, there's a little intro, and we go through all of that. This reached number 17 on the country charts 49 years ago today.
I get to cheat because I see what the file says.
Yeah,
right
I'm
now.
The one that pulled it, so I can't answer.
I know
so
who
it's
it
me
is.
In the Hall of Fame.
Good luck, James.
This is amazing. Jane, come on. You know who it is? Can I give her a hint, Sue?
George Strait?
He's not really a singer.
No.
He's an athlete.
I remember this from last year.
And he's a broadcaster now.
I got to tap out.
Yeah. It's Terry Bradshaw.
That's right.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. It's Terry. I'm so my bell?
Wow, the bell is missing.
I mean, that's really not that bad. It's pretty good.
I would have never guessed that.
No, not in a million years.
But you know it once you hear it.
Yeah. Once you hear it, you're like, oh, okay, but I don't even know.
Ever sung publicly again?
I believe that was a short-lived musical career, Jane.
But it's not horrible.
Yeah. No, it's not horrible.
That's why it made it to 17. Yeah. Right? It didn't get stuck down.
So did Hutch from Starsky and Hutch. He made it into the top 10 as well.
David Soul. That's a good point, yeah.
That song is more often played, though, than old Terry.
It really is.
I hate to say.
And I still know the words.
Don't give up on me, baby.
Don't give up on me,
don't give up on me.
I mean, that's scary. Yeah. In fact, I knew that.
35 years ago today in 1990, the first McDonald's opened in the Soviet Union. That was 35 years ago, and they stopped operating in Russia in 2022 due to the Ukraine war.
Oh, wow.
It's just kind of interesting.
Well, they're missing out.
Well, did you watch Fire Aid last night? I knew that Mark, of course, would.
Whoop. I'm sorry. I was getting ready to play the next thing, and then Terry was still belting it out.
Well,
go ahead,
Terry's
Sue,
got
sorry.
Something to say. Well, Billy Crystal hosted the beginning of it, and it's very personal to him because he lost his longtime family home in the fires. And when they returned, One of the only items they found at Billy Crystal's house, they went into the backyard. There was nothing left except a rock that said laughter on it. For some reason, that was a piece of decor in the backyard. And here's a piece of sound from
Hello, LA, and everybody watching around the world watching us. Welcome to Fire Aid. We're gathered here at the Kia Forum. Our goal is simple tonight, to raise more money than the Dodgers spent on free agents. You'll be hearing from a number of people who were tragically affected by these fires, and I am one of them. I stepped onto the grounds and I fell to my knees and I wailed. I had not cried like that since I was 15 years old, and I was told that my father had just died. This was the only thing that was left. I felt it was a message from that 15-year-old me saying, it's going to be okay. And it will be okay.
Wow. Yeah, I was watching some of Billy Crystal. He was great last night.
He also mentioned, or he brought up, I guess, I don't know if it was the last time he had done something similar to this, but I guess he did something really similar for the concert after 9/11 in the wake of it, where he kind of, you know,
He was the host.
Spoke at the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. So he talked about that a little bit. So it was pretty powerful.
Yeah. For Jane.
Oh, good food.
Twix.
Okay. Ooh. Candy? Yes.
Well, this is a kind of a genius, ridiculous Super Bowl thing. Here we go. Twix has announced a contest that's running during the Super Bowl where they want you to go to Twix.com on your phone during every commercial break and compete in a staring contest.
This is good marketing.
It's genius.
That's great marketing.
So you won't watch the commercials on TV. You'll be staring at your phone at Twix.com. Now, the idea is the screen will have two gold bars on it with an eye on each one, which apparently belong to the hip-hop duo Ying Yang Twins, but that's a whole other story. They'll keep track of how long you stare and how many breaks you participate. The higher your score, the more contest entries you receive. And at the end, one winner will get two actual gold bars worth about $170,000.
Wow.
What?
Isn't that nuts?
I think that's pretty cool. That's fun.
And it's pretty passive, too.
Yes.
I mean, I can just sit there with the phone. Okay.
They're simultaneously awesome and what is wrong with America.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
It really is.
I might compete in this. You know, I have some strong staring.
You have a gift with Jack Black.
I almost beat Jack Black, but he beat me. He nipped me out in the end. You can watch that online. If you Google Mark Reardon Jack Black staring contest, that will come right up. Jack got me. Dustin Hoffman was the timekeper for that.
That's funny.
He kept
that's
time.
Cool.
Name dropper. They're actually tricking people into spending the entire Super Bowl staring at their ad instead of the ones on TV. It is kind of genius.
It is. I thought they were going to just give away candy bars.
That's smart. They'll get a lot because think about all the other people like you and us talking about this as well.
Yep, it's really
smart.
People
will play along.
Well, okay, we're about to head into February. We do like to look forward to what can we see in sports. The Pro Bowl is this Sunday, Super Bowl next Sunday, and the PGA has two big events in February, the Phoenix Open and the Genesis Invitational. Award season, of course, the Grammys, the Critics, the Critics' Choice, Screen Actors Guild, too much TV to list. The Voice comes back on Monday, The Masked Singer on the 12th, Cobra Kai, which people love, but it's so horribly acted. Returns on the 13th, White Lotus on the 16th.
Yeah.
And Mark,
Survivor. Looking forward to White Lotus.
Are you?
Yes.
Survivor. But White Lotus is back on the 16th. Season 2 of 1923 starts on the 23rd.
Oh, I want to see that.
Yep. And season 48 of Survivor lands on the 26th. You're the only person I know who still watches.
I probably watch every season. It's sort of at this point a family thing. You know, Alexa, we like to watch it with her. But it's, I mean, what can I say? Here's the thing. I'm watching this thing right now that I'm very embarrassed about. I'm just going to admit it. But again, it's become kind of a family thing. And then I discovered that my kids watch it. So I'll test the group, Jane.
Yes. Oh.
Traitors. Have you seen Traitors with Alan Cumming? So I'm watching the first season.
First season.
So what they have is a bunch of reality. In the first season, they have some regular people as well. But a bunch of reality stars, people from Survivor, Big Brother, all these other shows, they gather at a castle in Scotland.
Yes.
And Alan Cumming, the Scottish actor, is the host. And three people are anointed as traitors. And they don't tell. Yeah, the crowd wasn't crazy about that. But they don't tell the rest of the group who are the traitors.
Right.
And then they have to murder someone every night and kick someone out of the castle.
Yes.
It's awful. At least the first season
is. It actually isn't awful.
But I'm watching it because I'm being forced to.
It actually gets great on Rotten Tomatoes.
I bet it gets better because I think the first season's a little rough, but I've heard it gets better.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting premise.
The fifth and final season of Stranger Things hits Netflix sometime this year. I mean, come on.
Probably, yeah, summer they usually do it.
But Ross and Matt Duffer, the creators of the show, are not leaving the world of the supernatural.
Okay.
They're working on a show called The Burrows, which sounds like Stranger Things, only with old people.
Right.
I kind of love it.
Wait, in the city?
You mean the kids that we've been watching 10 years ago who are now adults?
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
That's a fair point. But no, it's the Duffers aren't exactly denying it. They're saying it's about a group of misfits who fight an otherworldly evil in a retirement community.
Nice.
Oh, yes.
I love that. Ethan, what did you do to our screen on the YouTube feed?
Well, there may or may not be, if you go on to 97.1 FM Talk's YouTube live stream or on Twitter, there is a beardless Mark Reardon in a staring contest with Jack Black.
You pulled that up.
I did.
Put it on
look at that.
You look like you're 12.
I know. And that was not that long ago. You see what my daughter did to me? She aged me more than Obama was aged in the White
That's
House.
That's why you deserve the girl.
This is a very intense staring contest.
Oh, I know. Jack took it seriously and so did I. Oh what can God. I say?
By the way, the people in the Burrows are going to be Alfred Molina, Gina Davis, who I love, Alfred Woodard, and Bill Pullman.
Hey,
all good.
That's
choices.
A great cast.
It is a great cast.
Love it.
So when they
that might be good.
Finally figure out what to do with the Stranger Things and end it. Okay, and Jane, for you, we have today's random fact. The word duds in milk duds came about because the company that created them wanted to make them perfectly round, but found it was impossible. So all of them wound up being duds. So they decided to embrace it and just call it Milk Duds.
I love them even more now. I love Milk Duds.
Amazing. I thought you did. And
honest
that's it.
To God, people need like a PhD in Sue's News after hearing some of these random facts, because that's amazing.
It is amazing.
Paul Hall on entertainment coming up next.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday afternoon on the Mark Reardon Show. Still plenty to go. We're only about halfway through the afternoon. We have Frank Cusumano weighing in on some, we might talk college basketball a little bit more than we usually do since we have no NFL outside of the Pro Bowl this weekend. Dave Murray will join us in the next hour talking about our unseasonably warm forecast. I felt like we always call Dave into service when it's nasty weather.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? It'd be worth having him on when the weather's going to get a little warmer here next week.
So good news.
He will join us after 5 o'clock. I also have Lieutenant Colonel Alan Campbell, who is U.S. Air Force retired. He has written a book called My Life About, or rather Above the Clouds, and he's landed dozens of times at Reagan Airport in D.C. And we have new video and information that's coming out about the crash, so he'll talk about that. And then, Jane, do you know what? I've been playing pickleball occasionally, but do you know what paddle is? PADEL.
No.
It's a different game, and I have a guest coming on in the next hour. His name is Cliff Marsland. He's the director of rackets, and he's the assistant GM at Paddle and Pickle, which is in near Olivet. I think it's in Olivet off of Olive. But paddle, what he told me a couple weeks ago is pickleball is the one sport that's kind of been picking up in this country over the last certainly decade. Paddle is a different game that has taken over Australia and much of Europe, and it's a game that it's more of a mixture between tennis, racquetball, pickleball, and squash, because you can play the ball against the walls. It's different. And they have courts at this place, Paddle and Pickle. So Cliff's going to explain it all in the next hour. Let's talk movies and entertainment with Paul Hall. I'm hoping this one's good.
We're all here to celebrate love. So why can't we just celebrate together?
How sweet was that? The other wedding's already having toast.
I'm going to give a toast. Okay.
You are literally the best person I know.
Stop
not playing cornhole.
That sounded like a slurring Reese Witherspoon, and Paul Hall is with us this afternoon from Common Guy Films to talk about this film and some streaming options for the weekend. How are you? That's Reese and Will Ferrell, right?
Yeah, it is. Welcome everyone this afternoon. I hope you guys are having a good time because you're cordially invited. Is a good time. Oh. I'm not going to say this movie's going to win awards. We're not going to talk about it this time next year as the best comedy of the year. But quite frankly, I got a chance to see this actually at a screening in theaters, which unfortunately, you're not going to be able to go out to a theater to see this because you should be able to. This is one of those movies that you will need to see with a big group, kind of to get that vibe in the room where you're all having fun together. And on Prime, it's going to lack a little bit of that luster. But if you're a fan of Will Ferrell, if you're a fan of Reese, it's great to see Reese kind of take over in many ways in this film. But these guys are fun, and you know what you're going to get as far as the type of humor you get out of Will Ferrell. If you don't like that type of humor, stay away. You're going to sit here and criticize this movie forever. But it's a story of two basically family members bringing their families to an island to get married. But this island is so small, you can't have two weddings. Why they get two weddings there at the same time? Well, they're double booked, and there's a reason for that, which will start your movie off in a good, smiley way as you find out what went down. Now they get on the island together, and of course, they're two very different families. And two very different families together in an enclosed space leads to funny moments, and I liked them throughout the movie. It's really not doing well over on IMDb. It's like at 5.5.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. But
yikes.
You know, and
you know what?
I can appreciate your comment about the infectious laughter because, look, I've seen enough screenings with people in a packed theater, and you do get more of an effect on that. So sitting in your living room might have the same effect. But we like both of these people so much, right?
Yeah, and that's just it. We need more of these fun movies. This is really just that. It's a fun movie. You're going to check your mind at the door. You're going to enjoy it for, an hour and 45 minutes, and then you're going to go home. Or in this case, you're going to, change it on your couch. But it's really a good time. You're going to have no problem spending an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes with Reese and Will here. I can recommend you're cordially invited to check it out.
I had my former producer, we call him Producer Emeritus, David Klein, reach out, and I think he texted you, Jane, as well, about this American Man. I was not familiar. There's a new O.J. series out there called American Manhunt.
They are certain that O.J. is in the passenger seat.
Mr. Simpson is a wanted murder suspect.
O.J. is in custody.
This was a trial involving the most famous celebrity ever charged with murder.
Look, I'd like to say we've had enough O.J. coverage over the years, but Jane and I will both admit, and I don't know if you're in this club, Sue, but I get addicted to this stuff, and that story is so captivating, and I'm curious about this, Paul.
Everything about this was amazing to watch, and it was funny afterwards, after I'd screened through everything, talking to my daughter, and of course, we forget this was 30 years ago, and yes, it took over everything. Everybody that you knew of was talking about this on a television or radio show, wherever you could go. Geraldo Rivera really made an early part of his career from the O.J. Simpson case. But kids today don't even know this existed and how big it was in the scope of things. And we get some new details here. We get some new things along the way. You get some moments where they talk about things that weren't introduced at trial that, if they were, I think would have maybe swung some of the jury members one way or another. And we get to the point of learning just some of the things behind the scenes. Now, of course, this was 30 years ago. This took place last year. And with Simpson recently passing away, I think it allowed them to kind of go deep here and not worry about with the people they interviewed, because they interviewed some people close to him along the way and people that actually had agony. And there's some really shocking revelations in here that you go, there's ways to beat legal system in a heartbeat. And I speak mainly about his sports agent and his comments about how to make sure the gloves don't fit when he got on the stage, outside of the latex gloves, which we all know existed.
Well, one of my questions was going to be what's new here, because it is a story. There's been documentaries. The ESPN series I thought was really good. Then they had the FX, fictional series, which wasn't awful. I mean, I think that the acting was really good, but some of the story differentiations, because it's a drama and it's not documentary, were a little bit weird to me. But, you know, if you have new material, you have new interviews and more reflections, and that could be something interesting. Do people finally, without giving too much away, do some of the people close to him finally admit that he did it?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, but before you get to the end of this, you'll hear some people say grudgingly admit to that. Even people that were close to him on the legal team and the like, that kind of went there.
Here's how I know he's guilty. You want to know? And I've said this over the last 30 years, and you can go watch it right now on YouTube. You watch that verdict come in and look at Bob Shapiro's face.
Yes, he was sick.
He
to
is
stomach.
Ready to vomit because he knows what
stomach.
He just did. Absolutely.
Yes. And
if he wasn't guilty, where's the killer?
Well, he was a jockey at Churchill Downs, because I would always run into OJ at the Kentucky Derby. That's what my theory was, Paul.
Well, and there was a lot of stuff in this trial that was not introduced in front of the jury. Look, I think this jury was so bad. The mistake they made was moving the case. They should have never moved the case. And then they should have been more careful in picking the jury. Because I think it was probably, I think it did.
It was in the bag, right? Do they talk to Ito? Do they talk to Judge Ito? Is he even around?
Ito. Yes,
he is. Judge Ito doesn't get interviewed at all here, but they do take this past the murder trial to the civil trial as well. Yeah. And they have people talking about truly how easy and how they knew absolutely, surely he was going to get convicted of that from the start of that trial.
Yes. And because a lot more stuff got in. It most namely, were the interviews that they initially had with him, which contradict much of what their theory of the case
was. And those were not allowed
in
court.
And for some reason, I just don't think they didn't put him in. They didn't offer him. I mean,
you have his testimony under, in this series, you see his testimony under
deposition.
Deposition up front. And so you see him and the way he treats people and whatnot on those depositions in here from the civil side. Remember, he didn't ever testify at the murder trial because they didn't want him up.
But he was interviewed by the police. And, you know, Bugliosi, he did a ton of, videos. If you go to YouTube, he can tell you everything that was not introduced into evidence that was, kind of malpractice.
Vincent Bugliosi did that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and he did his own closing based on the evidence that should have gotten in. It's pretty fascinating.
I used to like that guy. Is he still around, by the way?
No, he passed away.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And he wrote a book.
Yeah, I recommend this one for anyone who's a fan of this type of stuff. I mean, this is really got enough juicy stuff to keep you talking about it for weeks.
Anything else you want to recommend this weekend?
I do want to recommend Paradise. It's over on Hulu. The first three episodes are up. Next couple episodes coming down the path. This is about an end of the world type of event where a president and his lead Secret Service agent, played by Sterling K. Brown, head into somewhere. And I'll leave that to you to explore in the series and see where they end up. But it's a paradise, shall we say, where they're going to live out their days until it's not so smooth and easy at some point. Sterling K. Brown is wonderful, and I'll watch him do almost anything.
Well, he's a St. Louis guy, too. You know
that,
right? And
play the president. Yeah, so of course I have to pander to the fact that he is from St. Louis. Right. You know, but that doesn't mean he's not wonderful. He is. This is a really interesting series. If you want to check it out, reminiscent a lot of, say, a Jericho, if you remember that from a couple years back, mixed with a kind of the backdrop of a spy thriller, even like The Night Agent, which is number one right now.
Yeah, I watch it. I
are you through the whole thing? Is it
good?
Better than the first season or not?
I like the second season better than the first.
And there is a third coming.
Yeah, they already renewed for a third.
So no, it was good. It really held my attention, and so I binged it.
If you don't follow Gabe Bassel on Instagram, Gabe posts a lot of content. He's a St. Louis guy too, which is why I want to mention this. But he puts up a lot of really cool things where you can see even some of the stunts that they did on The Night Agent, and he'll show some side by sides where he's doing the stunt or the stunt guy steps. And so if you're into that kind of stuff, follow Gabriel Basso, who's from St. Louis, on Instagram.
Wow. Okay.
Good follow.
But yeah,
anything else?
But
Jane, what are you watching right now? You seem to watch everything. So you're watching the O.J. Simpson.
What was it? Black Doves?
That's good, too.
I liked it. And then
there's a lot of good stuff.
I'm still watching.
Some good
did you
stuff
wrap
up.
The Agency?
No.
Okay, so I'm watching that, and I like it, but it's kind of a slog. I'm waiting, you know.
Joe's ahead of me on it, so I have to catch up so that we can, start watching it again. But I have not started that one. And then what was the other one I'm watching that is so good on Paramount?
You watch so much stuff you can't keep track of it.
Well, yeah, no, it's bizarre. I've been able to watch, you know, more TV recently, but I'll figure it out. Or was it on Peacock? But just finished with oh, what's his name? The one about the assassin.
Oh, you're talking about the Eddie Redmayne one,
yes,
The Day of the Jackal.
The Jackal. That is really good. Really good.
It's spectacular. I've been through that whole series and I loved it.
Yes. And I think I actually thought it was a lot better than what the critics said. I think it's
now,
a better
did
show.
Did you get through the cross? Did you get through Alex Cross over
Prime? Prime. That is really good too. And I read all the books, so I was worried that I would not be happy with the Alex Cross, but he did a great job. Great homage. It did not take away from the books in my feeling. I think that who they picked, I think he was great. I think the guy who plays John, his friend, is phenomenal. The grandmother, I highly recommend Cross.
Can we get into the Carla Sofia Gascón controversy this afternoon?
Okay, where do you want to go with the Carla?
Well, this is fascinating.
Here.
So do you know who that is?
No.
He is the first transgender actress to be nominated for an Oscar for the film Emilia Perez, right?
Okay, yeah.
But
correct.
Guess what? I think I'm a fan. You should hear some of the tweets that Carla Sofia Gascón has sent out in the past. Here's one about George Floyd. Let me get this straight. A guy tries to pass off a counterfeit bill after consuming methamphetamine. An idiot policeman arrives and goes too far in arresting him, killing him, ruining the lives of his family and his colleagues, and turning the guy with the bill into a martyr here. She kind of called that one accurately. Here's another one. New attack in France. Beheadings in Nice by one of these retarded followers of Allah. There's a good one. The Hollywood's going to love that. Here's another one. Islam is becoming a hotbed of infection for humanity that urgently needs to be cured. Here's another one. How many more times will history have to expel the Moors from Spain? We've not yet realized what this threat of civilization means. So she's getting hammered by the other, like the PR agents for the other actresses are leaking this stuff out.
Oh, this is like the dirty laundry.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow, this is a political campaign.
Yeah. She ain't going to win anything, right, Paul?
Yep, the Oppo research.
I think there's very little chance there. The one thing I will say, much respect. She's left that stuff up on her Twitter feed. It's not like she went and tried to hide it after the fact here. You know, own what you did.
And she hasn't done her apology to her.
This is my favorite. Okay, this is the winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. This is about the Oscars. Okay, now I don't know. Do you know when she said this? I'm not sure of the timestamp, but here's what she said. More and more, the Oscars films look like an independent and protest film award ceremony. Yeah, it is. I didn't know I was watching an Afro-Korean festival, a Black Lives Matter demonstration, or the 8M. Apart from that, an ugly, ugly gala. They forgot to give an award to my cousin's short film, who is lame. So she doesn't even like the Oscars, but she was nominated. That's going to be an interesting night for her.
Will she show up?
If I were her, I would not.
I don't know if I could.
Yeah. Paul, tell folks where they can find your reviews.
GumGuy.com.
Have a great weekend. You going to watch the Pro Bowl?
No.
Yeah. I like the flag football thing, though. That might be kind of interesting.
That's
we'll
a fun aspect,
yeah,
but I don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly. Other than that, not much to it. All right. We got Cusimano coming up. All right, we have a sports weekend that's a little different because no NFL football for the first time in a while. We got the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. But Frank Cusimano is currently trying to stage a fight at Chaffetz Center is what I understand this afternoon. Let's check in with him and see if there's any rumbling that's going on. Can you report back to us this afternoon, Frank? No, I didn't punch him.
55-year-old guy with white hair, and I'm going to take a right hand to him right now.
So okay, when we talked about this on the roundtable a little bit, is there any further repercussions from that fight the other night or not?
Well, let me just say this. After talking to quite a few people involved in this whole thing, is a lot of them wanted to blame the VCU people. But from what I'm hearing is the SLU people were not innocent, and they may have instigated it and maybe taunted the VCU people. And that's when people like right there watching it objectively.
I would believe that. Look, it got a little hot. I think there was some chirping that was going on, and you know the chirping got a little hot, and then pushing and shoving. You don't like to see that, but we'll talk about what's really happening over there, which is a pretty big game tonight, right?
It is. It is. It doesn't happen very often, but it is tonight. A sellout crowd, Billiken Blizzard, everybody in white, 10,600 to watch SLU and their arch rival Dayton, and the man whose name is on the building Dr. Chavis will definitely be here. He was here on Tuesday sitting next to JJK courtside, and he liked it so much he's going to stick around all week to watch this one. Dayton has owned the Billikens 8 out of the last 10 they've won, including a couple of years ago. I don't know if I've ever been more heartbroken. SLU was going to win this game, possibly get to the tournament. It was a couple of years ago, and then Dayton hit a shot at the buzzer. The place was like the world's largest morgue.
Mm. Oh, I remember that for sure. That was devastating. Meantime, you got Mizzou, who's been off for a week. They got a tough couple of games here on the road. Mississippi State tomorrow, and I think Mississippi State might be coming off a loss. And they're I think they might be coming off a loss.
To Alabama.
Yeah, right,
It was, they're tough.
And then they got Tennessee next week, Frank. So it doesn't get any easier in the SEC, does it?
No.
No, it doesn't. And Mississippi State is ranked 14th in the country. It's a tough place to win. And they have a little guard who you're really going to enjoy watching as long as Mizzou wins. His name is Chess Hubbard. Yeah, I think he has 38
amazing.
Against Alabama. He's the leading scorer in the SEC. He's just fun and explosive to watch.
And he's tiny.
Wait, did you say
5'11"?
Did you say 48? Didn't
38. 38,
didn't
and
somebody
he's 5'11".
Yeah, but somebody scored 53 points last night. Is that true?
I don't know.
I didn't see that one.
I'm going to look that up because I thought I saw that on ESPN this morning.
But this
morning.
Guy is amazing. He had a monster game against Alabama, but he is tough. He's fun to watch.
What else is going on this weekend, Frank?
Well, the Blues are in Colorado tonight and then Utah on Sunday. And, you know, they're almost to the point where you're just going to have to do something remarkable. And that means win at Colorado. That means win at Utah. If you came back home with 4 points after this road trip, then you'd have a chance to start thinking about the playoffs. But when you're down 6 points, having played fewer games than the team that's in the eighth spot for the final playoff spot, you got to do some great things.
Yeah, and you kind of wonder if you don't do some great things here, what does that hold for the rest of the season, right?
Yeah, I think that if they were to go south, they lose both, then what you would do is you'd expedite like the learning curve and you give like Dalibor Dvorsky the phenom. I think you'd see him here in a week that, okay, we're not going to make the playoffs. Let's find out about the kid. Let's give him some NHL action. And then right after Jimmy Snuggerud's season ends in Minnesota, he'll come right from the University of Minnesota and wearing a blue note and playing for the Blues. That's if it looks like it's about over.
By the way, on the 53 points, I did see this. It was not my imagination, but it was a women's player for Vanderbilt. 53 points, 16 field goals, 16 free throws, and Vanderbilt beat Florida last night. So that was in the women's division. But, wow, that's a hell of a
amazing
performance. And then Illinois lost last night, too. They had a tough game, didn't they?
Oh, they did. You know, they're playing Nebraska, a team that had lost 6 in a row. And, you know, Illinois's got 2 guys that are going to go be in the top 15 in the draft. That's just a bad loss. Now, the positive side is that Illinois came in with a net ranking of 10, so they have a lot of significant wins. But now I think they've only won 2 of their last 6. They got to get it going.
Man, if Mizzou can somehow win one of these next 2, that would really be incredible.
Oh, I think they will.
And
I think
they're back home next weekend against A&M. All right, Frank, what's coming up on Sunday night?
Okay, we have a star-studded Sports Plus. We are going to sit down with Dr. Chavis to talk about Is he going to keep giving hundreds of thousands of dollars to the Billikens to buy players? We're going to talk about him being involved in the WNBA. Now, and he's only our second biggest name. Our biggest name is John Hamm. Talking life, Landman, Jerry Jones, the Blues, the Cardinals, his life, his career. It's a fascinating interview. He is just a wonderful guy.
Always more John Hamm.
Yeah. Do you talk about Mercedes? Because he's still the voice of Mercedes, I think, as well. That guy, unbelievable.
He really is.
You know, and I
love St. Louis.
I have my friend
him.
Richard King, who used to own the Blue Note in Columbia, Missouri. Everybody from Columbia knows Richard. But John Hamm used to go to the Blue Note and just sit there on the bar stool and listen to music and, you know, have some beers. Just a regular
dude. Just a normal guy.
Back in the day, right?
Yep.
And look where he's gone.
Landman is a
We were talking about Sterling K. Brown, too. I mean, those are 2 St. Louis guys that didn't really, you know, pop when they were young, if you will, but really have amazing careers. All right, Frank, have a great weekend. Enjoy the game tonight. That's going to be incredible.
I will. And I want to say one thing. Jane was so good on radio this morning. She's always so great with you. But today, my wife and I were listening. She just looked at me. Well, she is really smart. So.
Oh, thank you. That's tell nice. Her she's very sweet. That's a
I
thank
wish,
you, Frank.
I personally wish I would have cut you off before those comments, Frank, but thank you anyway. Have a great weekend. We'll see you. Yeah, you know what's funny is I was sitting here, and we have the station emails, people who are on the list, and the email blast just went out from 97.1 FM Talk, and it says, Attorney Jane Duker says blah, 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 because they featured a clip from you, I guess, in the email blast.
Yeah, well, it was about, you know, the Board of Aldermen stuff and what a clown car and this, you know, and board control of the police department.
Yeah, we talked about all that in the roundtable. You can always use the Odyssey Rewind app and go back a couple hours to 3 o'clock. Jane, thanks for hanging out on Friday afternoon. Have a great weekend.
You too.
We'll talk next Friday. Right. We have a lot to go here this afternoon, including a little visit with Dave Murray. I just thought it'd be nice because, Sue, we always talk to Dave Murray when the weather's crap, right?
That's true.
But today, it's not the best weather, but the weekend looks pretty warm, and Dave's going to give us a little preview of next week as well. Coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.